Oh, hey, everybody. It's Chuck. Good morning. Well, guess what? We got version 14.1.7 on both the Cybertruck and the Model Y. And also, just to let you know, I think this has gone out to all vehicle types, at least at the OG level, and it's gone wide on the Cybertruck as of this morning. So I think every vehicle is going to be on 14.1.7 as we migrate towards 14.2. But at the beginning of this first impressions video, I owe you guys a little bit of a welcome to the Juniper video. So this is not new. This is just a Juniper that you guys all know, but I wanted to talk a little bit about something, a few of the things that I've been doing. I did get my CAN server working, and in the passenger side, in this panel right here, there is a pin, an 8-pin for power that you need a pigtail for, and there's also X179, I believe is the label of it, that has the CAN bus, the vehicle bus, and the party bus in it. I'm only using the chassis and the vehicle for my CAN data. I think it's gonna be working on our first impressions drive today, so stick with me for that. And I have the CAN server wired underneath the carpet. And as I reach for it, just to show you, I had to build my own cable for the CAN server here, but the parts I use came from the Sexy Buttons guys over in Europe. And if the Sexy Buttons guys are watching this, the part you sold me for the model Juniper, you have it wired wrong. I was able to fix it. What you have is the pass-through cable. You missed two of the pins. I can send you the diagrams if you want, but before you sell that to too many people that actually want to use that as a pass-through, maybe double-check your wiring or reach out to me and I'll tell you how I fixed it. But in any case, what I also want to talk to you about is these floor mats. I use the Hanshow floor mats because they fit, they're good, they're the ones I've used, and guess what, I've got a discount code for them. I'll have that stuff in the description below if any of you guys want any of my Hanshow discounts. You know, I use that camera in the Cybertruck, that's also from them. They make some good stuff. You know, it's not made in the USA, but it's a really, really good product that I like. But what I wanted to show you is the differences on the Juniper. So I'm gonna put you up on the tripod just for a second and walk you through a little something here. So I'll get you as close as I can, but I want you to see how tightly these things fit. And you know, if I pull, you almost got to pull the seat back and get this out of the way, but these things fit in nice and tight. They're good. They got the little grip on the bottom, but I'm not just showing you how the product fits. The reason I'm showing you is because I want you to know how different they are from the other Model Y. These come in and the molding is different. It's not as wide. So these floor mats, believe it or not, and this is the passenger side that fits a little bit better because there's no accelerator and brake. It doesn't fit right. There's a gap over here, there's a gap up here, and there's a gap up here. So if you're getting the Juniper and you have the old floor mats, whether they're the OEM floor mats or not, they don't fit. So you gotta upgrade, if that's what you care about, you know, protecting your car. I can also show you in the back of the Juniper, there's a few changes here. You know, the cargo mat in the back is kind of nice. You know, the cargo bin also stores down here. I don't use this cargo cover, but it does have a nice store spot down in here. But this cargo mat also fits, but let me show you the other one. This is the older Juniper, and it completely doesn't fit. Let me take out the old one so there's no arguing. So in the back, you could squish it down, but it doesn't line up in the back. But back here in the back, this overlaps differently. It's a different width, and it just doesn't fit. So I guess the long and short of it is, if you're gonna get floor mats for the Juniper, you probably need to upgrade. If you don't upgrade, they can fit, but there's gonna be gaps and the whole weatherproof nature of them isn't being served. These are the Hanshow brand for the Tesla Model Y. They do fit perfectly. I do have a discount code below. Check them out if you're interested. If you got questions, just leave comments below on the X post and I'll let you know if I what I think about them, what I like them, and how to get more if you're interested. Anyway, let's get in the car and let's go drive this Juniper on my first impressions drive. Stick with me. Well, hey everybody, it's Chuck. We're in the car, let's go. We got FSD version 14.1.7. I know I just gave you the intro to the car, but what else do we have to say? Let's start self-driving. Wow, look at that. We got a white just to start. I don't know. It's the Juniper. So, what? Look at it. Oh, look at it. It's doing its little robot wash. You know, I cleaned the windscreen with a squeegee this morning, so there may have been some haze up there, but that is actually the first dedicated camera cleaning wash I've seen in my own car. The Cybertruck doesn't do that yet, but did you notice how it used juice immediately, and I did a little back and forth right in front of the camera. It wasn't a full swipe, so that was a dedicated clean the screen, which I think is great. Keep working on it, although, you know, first of all, it used the liquid, which it has never used on the dry wipe before. All right, a commit here. Very easy, a little question mark, not a big one, and a nice, smooth, unprotected left turn there. Traffic's a little bit light, so I'm not I messed up my waypoint, didn't I? I'm not, pay attention to the road, Chuck. See, here I am now. I'm switching my points while I'm talking to you, but let me get it going. I need to go back to my parking, and it's going back. Done. See if it does the U-turn. See if I got it in time. You know, editing this screen to keep the waypoints just right. Okay, we have a roller, no traffic. We have some traffic coming. So it's, look at it. Wow, and a strong commit. Now here's the acceleration question. Is it gonna boost with a car coming behind me? Not crazy. I would say that was a standard boost. I did not feel any sort of acceleration there up to the speed. I am driving in standard. We might play with some of the speed modes. Guys, this is my first version on V14 on this car, and I have not driven this version until I turned the cameras on with you. So everything I see on the Juniper is gonna be a first look. Like for example, you know, we got the cameras down here and I got a camera button here. For the first time in the Model Y, I've got a forward-facing camera. So we can start to see if that helps with parking. You know, it does have the little windshield wiper fluid down here. It'll be interesting to see if FSD can ever use that windshield wipe. Ooh, it's not working though, is it? Am I doing something wrong? I know that little wiper works on the Cybertruck. I wonder if it's not working on the Juniper for me. I think I've done that before though. I think I've washed it since I've owned this car. What do I have to tell you? So I was flying last night, go figure, flying when we get an FSD version update, and both the Cybertruck and the Model Y got it at the exact same time. And I think I've heard from just about everybody that this should be going out to all vehicle types that are AI4 capable simultaneously. I don't think we're on different branches anymore. We're on the .38 branch. We're all together. And, you know, I think it's going wider on the Cybertruck this morning than the other vehicles. So people that weren't in the early access are definitely getting the Cybertruck version this morning. So we'll see if it rolls out to the sexy cars. We got a train too. Look at that. Shucks, we're just like 2 minutes late from getting a train interaction up here at this intersection. It's an Amtrak train, so it's short. But, you know, coming up to a crossbar or facing a crossbar with a train is definitely something I want to see if they've got training data on. You know, you can see the probably out of the wide angle camera, you can see the crossbars were down and we're at a red light here. That usually is a flashing yellow allowing us to turn to the left, but it was a red because of the railroad tracks. One of these days we're going to get a perfect train interaction and we're going to be able to enjoy it and see what it does. I know these first impressions videos probably don't matter quite as much when many, many more people are getting it and many more people can experience it. And hey, put out some videos if you feel like driving with a camera and give me your experience. It's always good to get other data points from other people in different areas, like especially with leaves. You know, here in Florida, I don't have falling leaves to test or to validate. The one thing I did read about pretty consistently on this 0.17 version is that the braking inconsistencies or grabbing is gone. I had noticed that on the Cybertruck. I did not see any braking issues on the very first release of the Cybertruck on 14.1.5. So here's our first stop sign with a creep coming up to this road and a nice commit there. But apparently the guys that drove it out last night in LA and other parts of the country said they didn't feel any braking. So somehow the Tesla AI team was able to take a trained model, post-train it and get that braking out of the model. I really wish I knew how they did that. I'm fascinated to know how you get rid of a braking action in post-training. And I'm using the word post-training specifically, and I hope I'm not incorrect on that. I don't think they retrained the entire V14.1 model, foundation model, if you want to call it that, to get rid of braking. I think that's post-training to clean it up. Speed bump here. It looks like it did not see that one and slowed down for that one at all. I'm just going to do a quick snapshot. I'm going to try to use those as many as I can to see things. It was a little bit, what would I say, not well marked, kind of gray in the shadows. It wasn't very distinct with contrast on that speed bump. There is one more up here. Let's see if we get any slowdown for the last one. I can already see it. The contrast is different. It's darker. It's got better white. Yeah, it's slowing down just fine for this one here. So, okay, next is a unprotected left turn into a center turn lane environment, no median. We have two cars in front of us this time. So it'll be interesting to see what their behavior is in this kind of lightest traffic. I'm about 30 minutes behind rush hour, so I didn't catch most of it. I also want to get feedback from you guys on my camera recording. As you know, I don't have my HDMI extract. We don't have an engineering solution for the Juniper. I still have my old screen. It's in a box and boxed up. If anybody has a Model 3 or a Model Y prior to the refreshes of Highland and Juniper, reach out to me on chat or DM. I'm going to sell the screen at a discount for what I paid for it. It's not cheap. I'm not going to say it's cheap, but if you wanted to get into video recording your screen, this is the best way of doing it, especially if you're going to make content. And I can give you the point of contact if you want to reach out to the guy that made it too, just to let you make your own choice. Anyway, just so you know, reach out to me if you're interested in that screen. But what I have to do now, which is what others have done, is do kind of a screen re-grab from the 4K camera that's kind of at my head that gets this front view. I know Dirty Tesla has replaced his front view with a full 360 view. I think I'm going to try to keep my 360 view up in the overhead picture-in-picture mode. Give me feedback on that if you like. All right, we're next. Both of those guys went. We're wide open to the left, and we got one guy from the right. Oh, wow, he had his blinker on and was turning early, and that was a good one. I don't know if you can see that other car, but it made a very good, rapid decision. No braking issues at all there. Gosh, this build feels good. We are on a 14.1, and Elon has been talking about 14.2, and I almost think there's some confusion on what 14.2 is and the way Elon's kind of describing it. I know that it's probably going to be a completely retrained model, but like the braking issues, I believe he posted that version was what was going to fix them. Everybody's kind of reporting that it's already fixed, so I'm kind of like, why would you need to wait on 14.2? I don't think that 14.2 is going to be an evolution from 14.1.7. I think that's going to be a completely different build. Trained build, if that's... And I think that one might be where we get our parameter count bump and some other things. So I just everybody keep it with a little bit of, open mind on what we mean on these different version numbers when we go to a .2. Okay, we have a parking scenario here. We're going into a parking lot. We got two cars here. It made a good decision. We have a light here. It could have gone to, but it's going to this intersection. There's a small gap here and a nice smooth commit without any sort of acceleration there. And this is a diagonal parking lot scenario here that I've left into the training, and it is going down the diagonals the right way, which is great. And let's see which one of these spots it picks here. You gotta take me all the way up as close as you can. You gotta pick the handicap spot. Look at that, you didn't go in the handicap spot. That's great. Maybe there was some post-training on that. There was a spot definitely designated there. Perfectly. And I'm not gonna waste any time chit-chatting. That was fine. I don't have any questions with that. I'm glad it avoided that handicap spot. It was that means they have identified that. It doesn't mean it's gonna work every time, but it does mean that at least there's acknowledgement of a handicap spot in the model and in the understanding of what to do. So we'll keep an eye on that. If any of you get some handicap spot parking, see if you can describe it well, why it did it. Did it Did it not see the handicap sign to the last second as it pulled in? Was it not very well marked? Was the paint worn off? You know, why did it take the handicap spot? I'm not sure how they're going to address that unless they do like a slider button in the features and navigation section. You know, like in here in navigation, you know, we have like these things like avoid tolls, avoid ferries, avoid highways. What if there was, you know, allow handicap parking or something like that? That's all they would have to do to flip that switch if they truly had the context of understanding what a handicap spot was and what it looked like. I know many drivers that drive their Teslas that are entitled to those handicap spots, and it would really be a game changer for them. And especially those that have more significant disabilities. Okay, green light here, coming left. We're going to the supercharger next. We are outside of our school zone. Well, you know what? It's still flashing yellow, but I think we have one more minute. We'll see if we catch it. It's 7:59 a.m. I can see the school zone up there still flashing. How funny it'll be if that sign stops flashing at the last second. But at the moment, it's flashing yellow for a school zone. So here we go. It looks like we got a school zone scenario coming up. Flashing yellow, it's going into the left lane in standard and definitely slowing down right here. Definitely. When's it going to go to 15? All the way down. Look at it, all the way down. We got a crossing guard over there. 15 is showing, perfectly handled. Even went into the passing lane as if it could have gone faster. End school zone sign is right there. So now is when everybody should be accelerating, but we're not. So this is into that, I've already shown this many times. This is into that map data layer of how does it know when it ends. And there it picked up right there. There was a center turn lane only sign there that had nothing to do with the school zone, but it picked up some sort of context right about that same spot that it did last time for speeding up. But hey, Tesla, I'm still gonna give you a bravo for school zones. If the lights are flashing, you seem to have it every single time. I do think we have a little bit of an issue with signs that are only time-based without a flasher to indicate the status. The flasher seems to be the key element right now for why it works consistently. That's an infrastructure problem. You're not gonna get those flashers everywhere. Humans have to know, you know, where a school zone is, and if you don't, you might get a ticket. So, and I will say a lot of people speed through school zones that don't know they're there and get tickets or are dangerously driving through school zones. So humans do it too. But it's still, that's something if you're gonna try to solve it. I don't know how we're gonna get there without the, I don't think you could depend on map data for that. I think you truly have to be able to read signs at that point, because that map data layer is just infinitely complex. It spreads the world in multiple languages as we deploy FSD in many, many different languages, countries with different languages. I just don't feel like map data is the right way to go there. Now, for robotaxi, you could probably do map data layer all you want. If you're gonna have pre-designated robotaxi areas and you wanna do high definition maps, that's great. Okay, coming into the Wawa, we've done this, I'm doing the same route for you guys, so it's the same every single time. And let's see how the Juniper backs into the spot. A couple vehicles here just parked for deliveries. Looks like we got perfect urinal protocol being honored by all of these Teslas. And I'm the first Tesla to come up that has to violate the urinal protocol, right? I got to go in between somebody. See how evenly spaced out everybody is? We even got a Mustang Mach-E here. All right, you're going to keep on going with that one. You're going to one shot it or you're going to take another shot? Nice. You got this. There you go. Look at you. Using your little neural network brain. And look at this big truck coming around, and we snuck in at the last second, and the truck's there, and we're gonna hit self-driving and leave. How about that? All right, supercharging, check. Yeah, guys, this build so far, no braking issues. I'm definitely not using the word stabbing. If you're out there and we taught you that word, let's try to stop using it. And they were brake jabs. It was a good term at first for what we were feeling, to give it a feeling and a context. Oh, and we're going this way again. You know, this happened to me on the Cybertruck the other day, and it's definitely not a problem. You know, I'm the supervisor here. I can do whatever I want. Let me see if I can find a better 295 there. Do I have a, no, pay attention to the road, Chuck. Resense. All right, it locked in pretty quick there when I looked looked forward. If I go back here and add that, and I hit done, will it U-turn? Yes, oh, look at it doing that. Quickly reroute, you gotta find your way back. I gave it the supercharger to get me going back. Look at that, now it's going, it's rerouting again, it wants to go left. What I really want to do is a U-turn. We got crossing guards here. Why wouldn't it be cool if we got a crossing guard interaction? Green light here. School bus here, parked over on the side of the road. Still haven't gotten an actual school bus scenario without stalking them. Am I making this longer than it needs to be by just trying to force this intersection? What if I edit it now? You never know where you're gonna go when you edit FSD. Haha, look at what I did to you. I changed your mind again. That's where I want to go. That's fine. We'll just go this way. What else can we talk about? FSD is kind of getting boring, isn't it? I mean, it's not boring for those of you that don't have it. And I really hope this goes wider and we get this in many, many more countries soon. It is so good. When I fly with pilots, the first officers I fly with, and we start talking about cars, those of you that don't know what it's like up in the cockpit, let me tell you how this goes. You know, we show up, we have a 2-day trip, so we're going to go, you know, fly one day, spend the night in a hotel, we're going to fly the next day, right? So we got 2 days, and we know we're going to, you know, kind of get to know each other a little bit. When you first show up, you know, we know each other as pilots, but I hadn't flown with this person yet. You shake your hand, what's your name? You know, I kind of know his name, but you kind of introduce yourself and where do you live? You know, how far do you drive? Do you commute? You know, you got family, you got kids. And then, you know, then you take off and you start asking about their career history, kind of get a sense of their background. You know, like I'm a military pilot and then this fellow I flew with this week went to a civilian flight school in Florida and stuff like that. And you just kind of get to know each other. It's great. I mean, but it's a very kind of specific routine. You don't know a lot about each other, but you also got a lot of time to figure it out, so you don't need to rush. You kind of ease into these conversations. You don't ask all the questions at once. This fellow I was flying with this week, you know, I don't come right out and say I drive Teslas, right? You know, that's a conversation for later. Might sneak in there. I don't say, you know, other things that I'm into, like the honeybees and stuff like that. The beekeeping thing comes out easier because everybody kind of is interested in that and it's an easy subject to talk about and it's not controversial at all. You know, nobody's ever argued with me about beekeeping. People have argued with me about supporting Tesla, absolutely. But then we get into full self-driving. So the reason I'm telling you this story is to kind of give you a sense of how conversations go. And, you know, about 8 or 10 hours into the day, you get into a conversation about your drive to work. And I decided to introduce the fact that I said, well, I really don't drive to work. You know, I've got a 2.5-hour drive to, you know, Orlando from Jacksonville. But I said, I don't know, we're up here in the flight deck and we got the autopilot on and we're just sitting here talking. I said, this is kind of what it's like for me to drive to work. I get in my driveway and I press that button and away we go. And I swear on version 14.1.5 on this week, I didn't touch the steering wheel of the pedal on Interstate 95, Interstate 4, Toll Road 417, Toll Road 528, into the parking lot. It was perfect. Excuse me for my clear my throat. When you introduce that subject of full self-driving to somebody that does not own Teslas, this is when you get to look at someone and see if they're politically concerned about you supporting Tesla, they're doubters of the technology, or they think they understand and they're rationalizing it to something that they already own. And that's usually where most people go. They own some sort of BMW or some sort of Mercedes or maybe a Ford or something that's got some sort of lane keep assist and radar distance keeping. And they say, yeah, my car has that. And then you get into the conversation of, okay, I don't want to shut them down and say, no, you don't have that. That's not how you keep good crew communication in the cockpit. You don't kind of build rapport with each other by shutting anyone down. You start to come up with examples of, and I don't really try to prove anybody right or wrong, but I'm like, listen, this latest version I got, it did this, it did that, it changes this. It really, really is good. And then I found out this guy had owned a Tesla before. He had a Model 3 on lease. And they got rid of it there into the lease and went to something else. This was a Hardware 3 car. This was early on. And I don't even know if they owned FSD at all. So I can't answer that. But I do know that they owned a Tesla. So they knew somewhat about where it was, the state of it. But I said, listen, that Hardware 3 car you owned, I had one too. It was good for where it was at the time, but it does not even compare to where we are now. I said, even Tesla is not able to put the software out on these cars at the same time because of their capabilities right now and the amount of effort they're spending on trying to bring Hardware 3 up to parity. So I'm telling you this long conversation to, A, give you a little bit of a sense of what pilots do in the flight deck when they try to build conversations, keep crew coordination alive and working together. And subjects, you know, that are easy to talk about and subjects that are maybe hard to talk about. It is fun. I really do enjoy it. I meet a lot of people. I meet a lot of fascinating hobbies and things. You know, at the end of the trip, you end up shaking each other's hand. You go out to the parking lot and you'll see them in a few weeks if you ever fly again. And that's just kind of how it goes. But that conversation that we have with our friends, our neighbors, our relatives about where FSD is now, possibly where it's going, and how good it is, how expensive it is, or how not expensive it is it worth the $99 a month or the all purchase buy-in, and what safety features are included. And I'm here at a no right on red. No, I can turn right on red, and it's just waiting, isn't it? Look at me just waiting here. I have a guy behind me honking. It doesn't say no right on red, and it's not going. If I get a honk, I'm tapping the accelerator. It's going to go down. So I think I could have gone right there, guys. I waited and waited and waited and waited. It did not go right there. It was a hard right arrow. It did not say no right on red. So I'm not sure what the right answer on the law was, but it decided to wait. Just making the data point there. And that's how it handled it. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and go roundabout, done, change that, and see how we get back on the highway. So we're not going to get a whole lot of highway here. We're going to get a little bit of traffic. I'm going to go ahead and speed it up into Mad Max mode just so you guys can see how it handles the traffic. I'm going to go that way. I want to go, no, I don't want that. I don't want that. It's changing its mind. It's changing its mind multiple times. Maybe we'll go that way. It's completely avoiding the traffic though. It gave me three options without staying on the highway here. And I picked a new route that I've never done before just to give us some variety. But we are gonna begin on the highway. I did wanna just show you highway. I keep this in my route. But you see how it chose that route to get off the highway because of that traffic. All three options it gave me, none of them were on the highway. The conversation that we have with our family and friends about FSD is an important one to have. They need to understand, hey, they're going to understand you love it. They need to understand how good it is, but how much safety is going to start to be included in these versions when we get people that will turn it on? Everybody's not going to turn it on. I get that. We have to get more people to turn it on, and there are new options to do it now. You know, there's some renting options that are now coming out in certain areas. I don't think that's everywhere right now, so you have to kind of pick and choose where that is an option. But, you know, getting people in the driver's seat is honestly the best way. So if you own a Tesla with FSD, you know, when you go give somebody a ride to say, hey, let me show you, if you trust them and are comfortable with it, put them in the driver's seat. It makes a difference on what it feels like. Because when you're the driver, you're the one with the controls and your natural muscle reactions are the ones reaching for the accelerator or the brake when your environment changes around you. When you're in the passenger seat, you don't have those same natural muscle memory reactions that you don't have to make in an FSD car. You have to feel it. You're the one in the driver's seat that would normally be stopping for a yellow light or dodging a dog or a kid running out in the road. And you're the one that's going to feel the car reacting before you even got your foot on the pedal. So I really think it's important that we get butts in seats. Butts in seats is the best way to sell FSD. And I'm not saying from a profit standpoint by Tesla. I'm talking from a safety standpoint of people using the software for what it will enable. Obviously, if Tesla sells more FSD, that's good for the company, but that's not why I'm talking about it. It's just using this technology and expanding this technology into the robo-taxi and autonomous world. That is hugely important to get these things fixed. The fact I was able, in a Cybertruck, to get all the way home from Orlando to Jacksonville without touching the steering pedal at, you know, almost midnight is a game changer for me. I was tired. It was late at night. I might have honestly considered splitting that drive up, stopping and getting out and walking around. But because I had FSD on, I felt like it had my back. I wasn't sleeping in the car or anything like that. But it just shows you how having that extra layer of safety allows you to raise your situational awareness and see things going on around you and not necessarily have to have the reaction time you would if you were the one completely responsible for driving. And honestly, to go back to a flight deck analogy, flying the plane, that is exactly what the autopilot does for a pilot. When we're at the top of descent and we're in the cruise phase, and if you're just a passenger, think of it this way. Have you ever noticed when you're sitting back in the seat and all of a sudden you feel the plane slow down, you hear the engines spool back a little bit, they get a little bit quieter and you start coming down, you feel a nice gentle descent. You know, we're descending at probably 1,000 feet a minute, maybe up to 2,000, 3,000 feet a minute, a little bit lower. And that descent requires a lot of planning that we've already done. But when we're descending into a major city, we have a lot of constraints that we have to put the plane through. We have to descend at a certain airspeed. We have to meet very specific altitude restrictions. You know, we have to cross little waypoints in the sky at exactly the right altitude and airspeed. And then we're turning and navigating around. These are called arrivals. And these arrivals are very constrained, but what they do is they give the air traffic controllers a predictable map where every airplane coming into this area to land on a specific runway will be lined up and in the right place in order to put them in a good position to land. But these arrivals require flying at the level of precision that is actually very difficult to do manually. You know, calculating the correct descent rate based on your airspeed and your tailwind. And there's some mental tricks that you learn as a young pilot to do these things. But when you're flying a commercial aircraft and your objective is a perfectly smooth descent that the passengers can barely even notice, it really does take a computer to fly that smoothly. So we have the autopilot on and it's descending. But while I've got 15 constraints in front of me going into Orlando last night at 9 o'clock, the plane is on autopilot. I've got my computer programmed with the altitudes and the speeds and the waypoints where it needs to go, just like I've got this car programmed with the waypoints where it's gonna go. It's programmed, it knows where it's gonna go. It's got the speed limits, it's got the lights, it's got the turns, just like my flight management system. So it's navigating. But the point I'm trying to make is when the vehicle, either an aircraft or the car, is doing the navigation, both speed, lateral, vertical, and power control, what that allows you to do is become an automation manager, right? And as a pilot, when the plane is flying, I'm not chit-chatting and not looking. I'm allowed to look at the screens. I look at the screen, I look at the speed. I make sure the plane's doing what I think it's doing. I double check that I've got it programmed correctly. And I'm looking for other things around. You know, I might start worrying a little bit more about turbulence, or I might start thinking about other things that are going on in the aircraft. Maybe a maintenance issue that I need to think about at landing. My mind can go other places than the physical control of airspeed and altitude. I say all of that to say that now that we have FSD 14, getting to the level that we truly are not looking for the next disengagement or the next intervention, that we can become automation managers in the vehicle while we're still here. And I know many of you might say, but we're not gonna be in the driver's seat long. And that's fine, and maybe we won't be. But maybe the Hardware 3 cars are gonna remain level 3 supervised for a long time. It's the same case for them. It allows you to see everything around and to manage the situation better. You see more, you notice more because you're not focused. Your brain is not using the actual cycles to calculate speed, distance, and time and deceleration, acceleration. Like that yellow light, it made a decision for me. I felt a tiny little brake tap as it went through its iterations, but it went through it and that was fine. I didn't have to lift my leg, hit the brake, and decide to stop very, very quickly. It may have decided to go through that yellow light because of a factor I didn't notice. Maybe there was a car on my tail. Maybe there was something else. I hope that point makes sense, because I use that over and over and over in my mind as the reason that I think this technology is just fascinating, is because it allows us to become automation managers. And at some point, you're going to be in the back seat and not having to even manage the automation because the automation is so good. So you're going to become the passenger in my airplane in your own car one day. That's the end game, is that you're going to stop being the car pilot and you're going to become the car passenger. And that will be a game changer too. That will now allow other things. That might allow you one day to have a drink at a birthday party dinner or a wedding and get home safely that night without having to call an Uber or ask somebody to drive you home. That is a very valid use case. Look at it, change its mind here in that direction. Road closed. Did you see that? Oh my God. I didn't even know this road was closed. It had the blinker on, it slowed down, and it went straight through it. That is in the release notes. Good job. It wasn't map data. It just saw road closed. There was a police car with its light and a road closed sign, and it remapped. Bravo, Tesla. Wow. How did you know? Did you use your little neural network brain to figure that out? Huh. I love thinking about things like that. All right, I'm going to end that conversation on automation management, but I hope that was useful to put things in context, how I think about this, how the automation is really getting so good that it changes my role as a supervisor. And you know what? If it takes a long time to go unsupervised, I don't care. I want to get to the point where I don't get nagged. And speaking of nags, let's see if the nags have changed. You've seen me get nagged a couple times. See, I got the green light up here, but we're going to do a test here when we get on a straightaway with my phone, and we're going to see if it's getting a little bit more tolerant of texting. Okay, look, we got to stop here. Did you see that? It had a stop sign. The car that did not need to stop had stopped, and it ignored the stop sign so that it did not create a situation that was confusing. It broke the rule because of the situation. Now, it could have stopped and said, nope, I've got the stop sign. You go. But it didn't. It went through the stop sign because of the obvious trajectory of the other car, and it did not create that awkward robo taxi car awkwardness. Wow. That was really good. I don't think I've seen it run a stop sign due to a context situation yet. Now, that was an N-1 example, but man, does that make me think of some other things. Okay, so we're coming up on this wonky five-way intersection that Jacksonville built. It's not a turbo roundabout. It's not a roundabout. It's around a railroad track bout. Look, here we are crossing the railroad tracks. Now we got to go left, and there's signs everywhere. There's crosswalks everywhere. And apparently even the locals around here don't know how to use this thing yet. It's enormous. It's got multiple entrances and exits, but I don't know. This car doesn't seem to mind it at all. All right, we're going up to this waypoint I've added. I added this waypoint so it takes us through that roundabout. I don't really care to do the testing up here where it takes me. So I'm gonna allow this remap here to take us down College, which is a nice little street with some parking on it and things like that, but we're not gonna park. Nice stop there at the line. If you want to stop at the line, there's a whole conversation I'm having on X also with where are you supposed to stop at the stop signs. And I give Project RCC some credit for bringing this to my attention. I hadn't looked up the law, but there actually is a code about how to use a stop sign with a line, with a crosswalk, and with nothing. And the Tesla stops way behind the stop sign as if there was a line everywhere just about. Well, except for roundabouts where it ignores them. But what the law says, and look it up in your own state or country if you're curious about this, a stop sign with a white line is supposed to stop behind the white line. A stop sign with a crosswalk has to stop behind the crosswalk. A stop sign with no line or crosswalk is supposed to go all the way, even if it includes past the stop sign, to the best position for visibility prior to crossing the intersection. So I guess the point is it in many situations, it's stopping at an awkward spot when it ought to be rolling all the way to the intersection when there is no crosswalk and there is no white line. And there are a lot of those in this country. So take a note at that and think it through about how they've had to program the NHTSA stop in here. But now that there's that subtlety, maybe the NHTSA stop is actually kind of being overdone according to the law. And tell me what you think and how they should program it. I mean, obviously, I would like it to go further to the intersection if the law doesn't require them to stop, because that saves that little pause, proceed, and then go kind of a situation. I don't know. I think it's an interesting conversation. I know that the NHTSA stop is hard-coded a little bit. And when I say hard-coded, I don't know if it's a heuristic stack or if it's just dedicated videos into the neural network. And speaking of which, did you guys see that Andre Karpathy this week got a brand new Model X? And it was delivered with FSD 1329. And apparently at the Tesla dealership, when he picked it up, the very nice delivery agent asked, you know, Andre if he would like any help understanding how to use FSD. And he just very, very politely, you know, didn't make a big deal out of who he was. And he just said, no, I think I got this. And he took his new Model X and went driving. And he gave a nice post on X of where he thought FSD was as kind of to where it was when he was in charge of a Tesla AI. When he was there, he made this kind of very famous statement about, you know, code 1.0 to code 2.0, which was the end-to-end neural networks eating up the code 1.0. Look at that choice to stop before crossing the intersection there. That was good. Another very good context-aware situation. But Andre made a nice post about how great FSD was. He was obviously bragging about how smooth it was, but making also some references of how far neural networks have come from basically where he knew they were going. If you're on X, I really encourage you to look for that post. I did repost it a little bit so to get it some more visibility to folks that follow me about FSD. And it made me kind of chuckle a little bit to think about all of the heuristic code that his team had to fix things like stop signs. And if you go back in my video library on YouTube, I've got them going back to October, November 20 of 20. You know, it was doing this very programmatic routine, which worked in many situations, but it wasn't global. So for example, that heuristic stack would have never run that stop sign unless it didn't see it. Because of the behavior of another vehicle. It didn't have that context-aware situation. There weren't enough if-then-else statements they could have added in their C-sharp stack to do that, to handle every situation. So, it's just so amazing how many conversations to think I've just had here, and I'm not even really thinking about where we're driving. I don't know, we're going to need to come up with a new name for this. You know those shows that they had on TV? What is it? Cash Cab and Cab Karaoke or whatever. Look at this guy backing out here. See him backing up? Look at this. Okay, just in case you don't see me, I'm going to give you more room. And we're turning left here anyway. Just smooth as butter. God, there used to be a day where it would see something like that and it would just hit the brakes hard. Those days are gone. If you were sitting in the back, you would have never even known that that car was backing out and posed a risk. Wouldn't have even known it. Just because this car handled it so smoothly. It just kind of slowly went around in the turn lane and made its decision. What is more parameter count even going to mean? Is it going to see more? Is it going to have better context? And I don't know. I haven't had a situation that needed more context on this drive. Man. This is unbelievable. I know I say that, and you guys think I'm just hyping it, but when you're sitting in this seat, God, I hope you guys get a chance to drive this. When you sit in this seat, in this very comfortable Juniper, by the way, it is just amazing how far it's come. And the things I used to have to worry about and have my hands ready to go, I'm not even there. My level of automation has just come so high because of the situation I've got. All right, I've got parking lot selected. Let me take it off of Mad Max and just go back to standard. I didn't need it in Mad Max that whole time. So here we go. Let's see if we get the thin chain test on the Juniper. A little bit different situation with a box truck here. So it may go past the box truck. Nope. It's got its spot here. Let's see what it does. It's going to back in. You know, it's going to do this. And guys, it's going to fail this test. I can feel it. It's failing it. Okay. So it didn't do that like we wanted. So we're just going to go ahead and hit self-driving, and we're going to go. And a little bit of steering wheel jerkiness as it thinks through where it's going. Oh, it's still got my destination behind me in there. Nope, it's good. I need to get my waypoint. The cul-de-sac is next. So the thin chain test is still kind of a tough one. I don't know what to say there. It's just too thin. I can see it in the camera, so you should argue that it can see it and needs to be able to see it. It just can't see it yet. All right, there's Riverside Parking. And let me go to Biscotti's. I still owe you my phone test. There's Biscotti's. After Biscotti's, can I get to Fishweir? Want to go to Fishweir after Biscotti's? No, let's take Fishweir out. Let's just do FSD return. It is not, I'm sitting here looking at the screen that whole time and it didn't nag me once. So there's definitely a little bit of tolerance in there. Maybe it was the speed or something. All right, cul-de-sac test here. Let's think about what our parking is. We still got these same options. I don't want parking garage. I want parking lot there. Curbside just kind of stops like an Uber. And I need to remember to change the street parking. You guys got to remind me of that before I get there so I don't forget. All right, two cars to go. I think it's going to go for this next one here. There it is. No braking issues. No braking. The most questionable thing I've seen on this drive as far as what am I going to do was that steering wheel behavior when I re-engaged FSD before the sequence of waypoints had cycled through. It still had the parking spot behind me as its destination when I re-engaged it. I mean, it was at zero speed, so, you know, turning the steering wheel like that at zero speed doesn't really matter. It's just thinking it through. Interesting. Do you see this route it's got going around the block here? I mean, I'm going up to this waypoint up there. Why do you think it has that around the block instead of going right there? I bet it changes it. There's no reason to go that way. It's almost like that's the road closed behavior. I do see some sidewalk closed things up there, but the road is definitely not closed. Now I'm to flashing yellow, so I didn't get the green light here for some reason. There's a good size gap after this Jeep, so it should kind of just, yep, there's our pre-roll, and here we go. Let's see what our parking options down here are. Ooh, we got a truck with a trailer. Ooh, this could create some scenarios. I don't want to make him have to do anything funny since he's got the trailer. Oh, guys, what are you doing? You're going into the garage. Oh, this is a parking lot. Okay. All right. So this is perfectly legit. This is a parking lot. Now, I don't think I'm allowed to park here because this is private. But if you leave it here, I'm going to say you did what I told you to do. Remember when I told you about programming my waypoints in the airplane and getting all the crossing restrictions right? It's kind of like that, getting the destination right. So now I need to, at the next one, I want to go street side, but I don't have that option yet. So I don't want to go driveway and I don't want to go curbside. See how it goes around these cones. Cones are still represented as little occupancy network blobs. There's still no assets for that. Parking lot and curbside is the only option. I don't have street. So we'll just leave it on parking lot. Let's see what happens. Where's it going to go? God, see, look at it. It's going around the street. Oh, wait, where am I going? Oh, I'm going to 5 points. That's fine. I got my waypoints mixed up, guys. That's my fault. Did you see that? She was waving at the robot. Because the light turned green, she was right in front of me. She waved at the robot, apologizing for being in the crosswalk. Robot didn't care. Oh, guess what we've named? We named the car Dormouse. Possum was good, but you know, having the same name for two cars in a row is a little different. So this car's name is Dormouse. So when I refer to the robot, This is Dormouse. You see me posting pictures on X or whatever. So this next intersection is 5 points. It's kind of busy around this wacky flashing light intersection. Everybody doesn't have to stop. It's angled parking up here. The parking has never been an issue on V14. It's done it pretty good. How it's handled the stop sign, the traffic that does not stop, and the flashing light has been a little bit dynamic. They don't have to stop. And if they're locals and know that, they don't. And it waited on both of them just fine. So that was a very good scenario. And then anywhere up here, it should pull into these angled parking spots. Let's see if it takes the first one or if it waits. You gonna park next to your sister? Look at you parking next to your sister. Oh, look at that. There's a pedestrian in there that had to get out of the way. And it did. Kind of nudged him out of the way, didn't you, Dormouse? All right, so put yourself in park and then we're gonna go. So now you gotta back up. Trailers. Ooh. Edging your way out, my foot's on the brake because it's rolling. Cars are, when I look in the camera, I can't be that comfortable because I don't have the depth perception, but it was pre-rolling right into those cars with the red on there, but it did it just fine. Oh my God. With the ultrasonic sensors, we had a little bit of visual depth perception with inches, right? You know, we can see how far it is. In these cameras, I can't judge distance to the level of precision I need to. If I see a car coming, I just wait. It's just pre-rolling back going, yeah, I got room. Well, that's efficiency. It had room. Ooh, I felt the brake tap there. First one I felt. I don't know why. What do you guys think? I'm going to tap the snapshot button just for Tesla, just in case they see something there. It was just one tap. Was it a shadow? Was it those cars parked in the grass back there? It wasn't a multiple tap, though. It was one tap. But it was an unexpected deceleration tap that I didn't see anything as I drove by it. I'm not worried about it. I'm just trying to give the team data in case they see something they need. I can't see to the left here. So if I'm going to go right on red, I need to creep. It's not creeping yet. There's the creep. Wonder what it was waiting on for the creep there. Was it like an obvious there's cars going by, I don't need to creep yet? Was it staying out of the crosswalk as long as it could? Maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was staying out of the crosswalk while it was obvious it didn't have a gap. And then it went into the crosswalk. There's no gaps coming, so I don't know what it's going to do here unless it just waits on the light. Another 5 cars now. Looks like a light created a scenario back there. See if it pre-rolls it. Can you see the future? Ready, set, go. Yep, you saw the future. You started rolling. All right, is my parking still set? Standard park. See, it went to driveway. So see how this is different? So it was parking lot for the other spot because that's what it was. But now I'm doing street. So these context menus need to be, I don't know. Maybe it's the right way. I just don't like it. It feels like I need to be prompted. It's like me forgetting to, I don't know. What's the right pilot explanation when you forget something like that you mean to come back to? I don't know. It's like the runway changed and I forgot to change the runway. That's a pretty big one though. Maybe that's not the right example. In any case, I've got street park. Ooh, look at this jaywalker. Oh, look at her in the center turn lane, and I'm acknowledging it, and she's like already there, and she's like, well, I was gonna wait. Yep, look at that. Completely waited on a jaywalker that was truly just trying to wait in the center turn lane for me to continue and go by. Was it the right thing? I think it absolutely was the right thing because she continued to show trajectory. Her feet were moving. She was slowly walking, so it did it. All right, street parking coming up. I got somebody behind me, so we got to do a good blinker thing. We got to find a spot kind of here in this next block. It's got its blinker on. Oh, it's got an easy one. So we can just pull forward in this one, I think. Yep, nice pull forward. How close are you going to get? Let me give it the camera. See, is it going to stop? Yeah, it just stopped. It said I can one-shot that. All right, start self-driving. Take me in the next spot. Ooh, look at you bossing out of the front like you had room. I would have backed up. Dang. Wow. I'm glad you can see. That was close. For me, it probably wasn't close for the car. Where are we going next? Biscotti's? Yep. Somebody said Biscotti's ought to sponsor these ads because I mentioned their name so much. I thought that was kind of funny. Hey, if you work at Biscotti's, let me know if you want to sponsor this video. I'm not looking for sponsors. People do reach out to me about sponsorships. Some of the dumbest products you can imagine. I don't touch dumb products, but I don't know. I guess once you get so many views or so many followers, I don't know what it is on YouTube. Nobody on X, I think, reaches out to me. It's all YouTube-based. They reach out and they say, hey, what if we send you our product and blah, blah, blah. They think their cheap little whatever product is worth me talking about. I don't do that. If you're a Tesla product and I like it, yeah, I kind of go there. Like I do with the floor mats. I talked about those already at the beginning of the video. I like those floor mats, so I talk about them. I give you discount codes. If they give me discounts to save you money, hey, great. A lot of people have those discount codes. I'm not saying you got to use mine. Use anybody's. But hey, if you're in the market and you watch this video, that's what it's for. Ooh, nice deceleration there. Very smooth, right curve. He kind of braked a little bit of a different rate. We didn't go around him. It just kind of waited on him, but it had a nice, good, smooth braking curve there. So we're a little over halfway through the video. Oh my God, we're 55 minutes into this video. Holy smokes, this is gonna be a long one. But what do you guys think about the screen editing I've been able to do? There's one complicated part to this is that the white balance of one camera as it adjusts to the daylight coming through the screen affects the brightness on the screen. And setting keyframes to edit the brightness on this screen takes a lot of time. This video does not get enough views for me to probably go to that level of editing effort to get the white balance just right, you know, throughout a long video so that it looks as perfect as it can be. And that's why the screen was so great, because I didn't have to worry about that. It was just a feed. But now that I'm doing it differently, I'll ask for input. If some of you guys are experts out there, if you've seen it done in a better way than I'm doing it, just give me some comments or reach out to me and let me know what I can try. I learn from the crowd, and you guys are better at most of this stuff than I am, at least collectively anyway. Wow, look at that blinged out car. Wow. Ooh, she likes sparkles. I made an assumption of she there. All right. Not much to see on this road. You know, we do have a flashing light coming up here, and we used to have a bug where these flashing lights on the screen would turn red at the last second. Somebody asked me about that, and I said, you know, I don't know. So let's pay attention to that on this one. Yellow, 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 yellow. Never turned red. Didn't turn red that time. Maybe it's fixed. I don't know if it was a bug or not. It may have just been a UI thing, but I don't know, guys. Feels like a robotaxi to me. It's good. It's safe. You know, there are some corner cases. You know, some people posted videos about the robotaxis in Austin occasionally having some little bugs. And, you know, Waymo has those too. So I'm not saying that there's a systemic problem there. The question is the solution of the remote driver adequate to get it out of situations it will find itself in as we scale? I use we collectively, a robotaxi in Austin and San Francisco and now Miami, LA, and San Antonio and some other cities. Dallas, I think, is the other city it's expanding to. You know, is the recovery system adequate to manage the one-offs that will happen? I think the remote system is very responsive. So I say the answer is yes. All right, it's got its right blinker on. It's looking for spots. Slowed down looking. Nope, that's not one. Can't go there. There's one. You can take that one. And bam, you took it. First one. First one that was open. You jumped in. Nice job. You had already remapped looking for parking too. All right, start self-driving. Let's go. Backing up. Nothing in the way. You can see better than me. It definitely does not back up as far as I do as a human, because I'm always worried about the turning radius, you know, to get out of the way in front of the car. It knows its front turning radius, especially on the Cybertruck. I noticed that, you know, it turns the Cybertruck so close, what it feels like close to other vehicles, but because of the sitting height and the short frunk of the Cybertruck, it just feels like it's too close. I'll be darned if it doesn't seem to have any problem. It knows. Any of you driving Cybertrucks notice the same thing on FSD 14? Now that you have it, do you notice how it is aggressive on using those tight turning radiuses in front of the car that are a little bit unnatural to the human? But so far, so good. I'm not telling you to always trust the Tesla. You know, it's your car. Don't hit somebody else's car and get hurt if it's too close. But I constantly notice that it's more comfortable with less room than I am. Boy, did we get some highlight clips today. There were some good things that happened on this drive. But you know what? Good in the fact that nothing had to be done. And it's so great to be in this Juniper for the first time doing an FSD video, with the exception of not having my screen. I really miss that thing. I wish we could get a solution. We're not done yet. Maybe we'll get one, but Adam, the guy that makes them, he's got more of a full-time job, and he doesn't do this, you know, for a living, so he's not spending a lot of engineering time with the solution. But the connectors don't work. It's a different, I think they changed the signal from LVDS to something else, or at least the pins on the LVDS don't work anymore. It's along those lines, so. But if you guys can get me to a place where you're happy with the screen recording stability and brightness, and we'll stick with that. A couple roundabouts coming up, and then we go to the wrap up as we cross the drawbridge. I think we're going to cross the drawbridge. Yep, we're going to cross the drawbridge. Yield, you yielded. Got another car coming here. She yields to you. You didn't even tap your brakes. That was great. Used the blinker there that wasn't really required because it wasn't a true roundabout. There was nowhere else for you to go, but you used the blinker there. Blinker again. See, this situation, you could use the blinker to kind of indicate you're turning right, but you used it on the, that's fine. I don't care about that. Blinker, if you're in Carmel, Indiana, and you've got all those roundabouts, you probably could be a little bit more particular about when and how you use your blinker to help navigate the traffic. I felt it go around that gentleman there at that truck. Just a little bit of a circle. As he came back around to his driver's side, the car gave him a little bit of room very smoothly, very quickly. Man, it sees everything. And reacts very smoothly in this version. Guys, this version's going wide. It already is on the Cybertruck. I have no doubt about it. This is, if you're on a Hardware 4 car, you're probably going to be on FSD 14.1.7 soon. And depending on how long it takes to get 14.2 out, I bet you sit on this version a while. So if 14.2 has a whole bunch of iterations, I think we're going to be camping on this version. Unless there's some weirdness that I'm not testing here. You know, like some of you up in New England or parts of the country where the leaves are falling, we definitely need to see if it changed its behavior around those leaves that are rolling across the streets and some wind. Those of you up in the northern Midwest and you're starting to get snow, we need to see some good snow videos. Tesla probably doesn't have a lot of testing up in snow, but I don't know that for a fact. I just know that, you know, most of their engineering vehicles are not in snowy areas. So maybe they got some ADAS drivers designated for that, but I'm not sure. You know, I have not seen a lot of Model 3, Model Y 8S drivers on my street. I've seen Cybertruck, but I have not seen the 8S drivers on my street doing my turn anymore. They may have written that one off on this car and said it's fine, and we may lose that indicator of 8S testing for each version. Unless they keep using the Cybertruck. And why are they testing the Cybertruck? My only guess is they're still working on the question mark and to validate that the Cybertruck does unprotected lefts okay. I do have to get out and drive the Cybertruck on this version at some point. But I know most of you out there are interested in the Model Y. As just the Cybertruck community is smaller. While the technology is amazing and I absolutely love that truck, there's just not as many people that are craving the first impressions videos globally as in the Model Y. All right, crossing the drawbridge in very, very bright direct sun, I would call it. So no issues there. I was squinting and having to need the visor there. All right. So as we finish this drive, and I am showing 1 hour and 4 minutes on this drive, that's unbelievable. I guess I got lost a couple times. What do we think? FSD 14.1.7. If you made it this far in the video, you already know. And leave a comment down below if you made it to the end. I know a lot of you post that you made it to the end, but you're watching me at 3x speed or something, and that's totally fine. But if you can understand it as fast as I talk at 2 or 3x speed, more power to you. I do put this out as a podcast. If you guys go and just search for my name on the podcast, you'll see this sort of stuff if you just want to listen to me ramble while you're driving. Maybe you can visualize what I'm saying in your brain or something like that. It's just so you know it's out there. FSD 14.1.7, I feel like I'm just kind of fanboying everything, but gosh, is it good? Holy smokes. I mean, the braking is gone in this version. The last version I had on the old Model Y definitely had some braking issues that got smoothed out on the Cybertruck on 14.15, but I hadn't been able to test it. And then when I bought the Juniper, leased it, guys. I was on 13.29 basically until we started to get on the 38 branch, and today we're on version 14 for the first time. Nice behavior across the yellow line around that gentleman. If I were to try to say what do we need to work on, I'm not sure where to start. I mean, we saw a school zone again, and the where does it end the school zone thing? That's a structural problem that they just have to decide how they want to handle that. They're not reading the end school zone signs. The flashing lights are its indicator, obviously, to me. And it slowed down with the light. So, it's working good. Oh, see, here I had street parking. See, I don't like this. I wanted to go in the driveway. Hey, driveway, you gonna change your mind? No, anyway. That's FSD 14.1.7. What do you guys think? Uh-oh, is it pulling in the neighbor's driveway? This is the neighbor's driveway. It did. It's really close, it's right there. But hey, thanks for watching. Leave me a comment below if you're still here, and have a great day, everybody. We'll see you on the next one.